Well, hey, it's a good morning already. I could sense it. The Lord is here. Good morning to everybody. Christmas Day is 2 weeks. So I want to talk about some Christmas stuff. It's fun to talk about Christmas stuff during the Christmas season. The Christmas story in the Bible, there's many different aspects, different ways we can come at it. You know, I want to just focus on Gabriel's appearance in this Christmas story. It's kind of fun to look at him. It's interesting as his appearance. I was really looking into what his appearance came about, because of course he showed himself. He was sent by God to speak a message to Zechariah, and then he was sent to speak to Mary, a message to bring a message in. But there's other places that Gabriel appears. Actually, his name is given to us in Scripture as where he appears. And there's another appearance that he comes about, and it's in Daniel. In fact, there's four places that Gabriel makes an appearance to man. And it's one is to Daniel twice, and then another to Zechariah, and then another to Mary. And it gives us his name. The only other angel that we get a name of is Michael. We get that name also of an archangel also. I don't know who's really responsible for the idea that angels are these mild-looking, kind of feminine, 15-month-old chubby baby with wings. I don't know where that picture comes from. Not from Scripture. I'm just going to tell you, not from Scripture. Because in Scripture, where we find an account of an angel making an appearance, such as Gabriel, every single incident is he has to say something before. And what's the phrase that he has to say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And it's not the situation that he's referring to. It's his appearance that scares the person that he's appearing to, because he's that awesome. I mean, there's a awesomeness to his appearance. There's a holy reverence to it. There's something magnificent to his appearance that startles the people that he appears to, so much so that he has to say, don't be afraid. Daniel's first interaction with Gabriel, that's what Gabriel has said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm here to answer a prayer that you've been praying. But his second appearance to Daniel, he didn't have to say that. That's pretty cool. He didn't have to tell him not to be afraid, because he now knows his appearance. So I'm going to go to Luke chapter 1. Let's go there. It's really fun to look at this and break this down. His appearance. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5, he says this: "And there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless." I'm glad that they threw that in there, because that gives us insight into this couple, God-following couple, that were older in age, walking with God, blameless before God. And that's we need to note that, because what happens next is we can assume that something else is going on in their lives, but here's what happens next. Verse 7, it says, "But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years." Now, if you had children, sons especially, you were commended as being a leader in the community, as somebody that was now held in honor. Now, they have no children, and it's because Elizabeth is barren. So he actually had a priestly right, and I know this sounds like out there, to actually divorce her and marry another to give him children. That sounds crazy, but that's true. So I like the fact that they noted, that the Bible notes, that he was a man of God, a man of stature, a man of following God, to where he was blameless, because he stuck with the wife of his youth, kept her, loved her. But then he prayed constantly. There was a constant prayer in his youth for children. Know that because of this next happening. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he came into the temple of the Lord. This is once a week event. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. I know that that word doesn't really give us insight into exactly what he was feeling, because the feeling troubled is he actually was, a fear fell upon him. He was scared out of his wits. I mean, if you think about it, this is this glorious angel that had an appearance that was so bright and scary to him that it troubled him, and he was so scared that fear actually came over him. Have you ever had fear, or even I think the word terror, come over you to where it paralyzes you? Has anybody ever experienced that? Some of us have, and you know that very real feeling of it's a terror or a fear that comes over you that you cannot break away from. It's like as though it grabs a hold of you to where you cannot get away from it. And that's what happened here with Zacharias. And that's why then the angel, Gabriel, says this. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer," and actually the word there is supplication, "is heard." Your supplication is heard. And what's the difference between a prayer, prayer request, and a supplication? Real quick, it's a little side note. Anybody have an idea, a clue? Because actually the word is in the Greek there is supplication. Supplication is something very simple. It's really easy to understand. Is a prayer request, or a prayer that we lift up to God, or a prayer request to God, is usually in the midst of, you know, as I pray for my wife, I pray for my children, I pray for my country, I pray for my friends, I lift up that request to God in regards to that person. A supplication is a prayer supplication where I'm calling out to God for a matter that's dealing with me personally. Hello? Is following with me on that? You guys understand there's different types of prayers, right? We don't just pray, you know, goofy prayers that mean nothing and have no meaning to them. No, there's intent to our prayers. And so he's saying that your prayer, your supplication has been heard. This cry that you have cried to God in regards for yourself, for you and your wife, has been heard. But here's what's really awesome and interesting about this prayer. This is a neat little side note too. You guys following with me? Tracking with me about this story? Because I know it goes somewhere, and God has already told me there's going to be a couple little side routes that are going to mean more than what the story is. So pay attention, because we might miss the sidesteps, all right? This is cool. Is that prayer, that supplication that Zacharias has been praying, was a prayer that he... You might not agree with this. It's a prayer that he gave up on. You don't agree, do you? But listen, I'm going to tell you. The word in the Greek actually is meaning that. The tense of that is, and it's just because I heard it, and I studied it, and I looked into it. Is that the tense of it is a word that he no longer prays, but it's a prayer that he used to pray as though he gave up on that prayer. Why? Because it's a prayer that you pray in the midst of your youth to have children. I mean, in a common sense says you don't start keep praying that when you're in your 60s to have children still. Hello? And it almost fits. It fits with common sense also. It's not as though he's looking to have children. And then the reaction that he gets from this, now you get it. It's like, well, yeah, duh. I mean, hello? Robin and I are at a place where we're near 50. And we're just praying for our grandchildren, right? Hello? And that's a good prayer to pray. We keep praying. We're not asking God to give us more children, right? She's not answering me. Dang it. Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your supplication is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness. And you know what? I don't think I finished on that thought. Thank you, Lord. I don't think I finished on that thought. Is that and the thought of a prayer, a supplication to God, you may give up on it. This is so awesome. But God doesn't give up on you. I don't care where you're at. Where you're at in your life. At some point in your past, you may have had a dream, a vision, an ambition towards God. That is something grand and glorious. And then life smacked you down, smacked you down, smacked you down. And you gave up on it. God has not forgotten you. Huh, that's good news. Anybody with me on that? Anybody needs some good news on something in your past that God has shown you, shared with you, told you, spoke to you, revealed to you, and you've given up on because it just seems like it's an impossible thing? And God doesn't give up on you. Oh, that's so much. That's really good news. And I've shared this before, and I've shared it. I don't know if I've shared it from this very spot, but I gave up on my brother. I gave up on my brother, Matt. I felt that in my spirit, in my heart. I felt like I was giving up on him. And then people would speak words of hope. And like, oh, and I just would be like, that's really nice that you believe that. I don't think it can ever happen. I don't think it could ever happen. You guys following with me? Yeah. You guys, and it didn't matter what I felt or thought. And God still said, I heard your prayer and your supplication from when that faith that you had, and even when you were faithless, I remained faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was a side note that I didn't plan on, so that was a good one. That was a good one, yeah. Amen. I received that one too. let's go on. I'll go back to the story. It says, and you will call his name John, verse 14, and you will have joy, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Another little side note, sidestep. God, when God's doing stuff, when God does stuff, when God moves, and God is always moving, God is moving, he is so good and kind and just so, I'm just thinking, so merciful to let his people know what he wants to do and what his desire is to do in our soul, in our culture, in our society, in our lives. He's really good at letting us know. He does it in different ways. I believe God is wanting to let us know through things that are going to blow our minds, through dreams and visions. I believe that. God is opening up dreamers and visions, and he's bringing dreamers and visions into our midst. Hello? I believe he's doing that. He's also doing it in our hearts, to where he puts something in our hearts to be repentful and to be humble and to seek his face and to seek his will. He's doing that more and more and more and more. Right? I'm seeing this, and I believe it's as though God, I think we kind of get this picture of God, like God doing stuff and us being like, oh man, we better hurry up and catch on to what God's doing. It's not really how he does stuff. He lets his people know. He reveals to that things which he's going to move and he's going to do. And he shows his people. He reveals that. He uncovers his will before our lives. And he does it through many different avenues. Be willing and open to, as you see, as you hear, and you sense God moving and doing stuff, say, okay, God's preparing us to go through something, to do something. He's actually blessing us so that we can bless others. And he's pouring that into our lives so we can pour into others. You guys tracking with me on that? Good. Okay, good. Let's go back to our story. Verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I love this. This is awesome. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. Whoa. I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. That's an awesome statement. Just let that sink in for a half a second and let God just like wow you. I am Gabriel who stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of God. Gabriel came from God's very presence into our realm to deliver this message. Man, that's awesome. That is so awesome. And it's almost as though I could see this. Gabriel just absolutely stunned, if you will, at Zacharias' doubt. I just came from the throne of God. I just came from the very presence of God. And I stand in his presence continually. I am there and I am delivering this message. I was sent to speak this and bring this good news to you. And it's, I could see this. Gabriel, you know, I don't know. I just really like these guys. I like Gabriel. I like him a lot. Because I think he's got mercy, and he's got wisdom, and he's got compassion. Because I really think he just wanted to just off Zacharias right there. It's like, how dare you question me? I have come from God. I stand in the presence of God. And you're going to question me? He has so much authority, he could have just zinged him right there, zapped him, annihilated him. But listen. Here's what I'm saying is, let's not miss the whole point of it. Is he chose to say, I now am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Here's how you will know. You will be mute. And here's what I want you to understand, and this is so awesome, is Gabriel's awesome understanding of God's will being preeminent, being most important, even above his very own. So yes, he chose not to be proud. He chose not to do what he wanted to do, and he chose God's will. Because if he would have off Zacharias, God's will was no longer in existence. Instead, he said, you will be mute. And he even said, I think there's some people say that he was also, he couldn't even speak, because when they went to go talk to him, they had to sign to him. Original sign language, I guess. I think they wrote stuff down. But what's that? How long could he not speak? 9 months. 9 months. Verse 20 says, but behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. And now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. That's awesome. That just really is that's a neat story. But then it gets even better. The story gets better. Because then now Gabriel, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. I'm going to stop there and ask a question. I'm going to ask a question before I read the next verse, and we don't have it up there. Maybe you have it in your Bible. How many of us want more favor with God? Okay, that's a good answer. How many of us would like more of the presence of God in my life? Absolutely, that's a good answer. Now, of course, this goes without saying, how many of us want to be blessed by God? Absolutely. Well, let's find out this. This is really cool, because this next verse says this. Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Favored by God, God's presence in her life, blessed among women. That's a good deal, right? Isn't that a good deal? Mary, the highly favored one, was looked upon by her peers as a fornicator. Mary, the highly favored one, almost abandoned and left high and dry by her husband. Mary, the highly favored one, ridiculed by her peers and misunderstood by her family, favored and blessed. Mary, the highly favored one, forced to travel by a government decree at the most difficult time of her pregnancy, favored and blessed, and God was with her. Are you catching this? Mary, the highly favored one, after the birth of her child, was forced to leave, to flee for their life of her child to a foreign land for approximately 5 years. Highly favored, blessed. God's presence was with her. Maybe we need to rethink that. God's presence, God's favor, God's blessings may not appear to be what we think it should be. No, I mean, how many times do we... Because let's do this. Let's play a nice little a game. Let's play it. It's not a game. Let's look at what God's blessings are in Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitudes, we know them as. The blessings. And with that mindset in, maybe the blessings of God aren't exactly what we think they should be. Let's read these and with that perspective, understand that God's blessings are very real. But they just may not be that thing that we think they are. Because here's, before I read these, here, if I was going to write the blessings of God, or if you were going to write the blessings of God, no, I'll say me. If I was going to write what the blessings of God would look like, I might go like this. Blessed are those who are wealthy, because it's a sign that God's provision is with them. Blessed are those who are healthy, because it's a sign and it's evidence that they are taking care of their body, and so their health is good with their body. Blessed are those who get along with everybody and everybody likes them, because they must be nice people to everybody, salt and light, if you will, in the community in which they live, because everybody likes them. Be careful, though, to be like too quick to say no, but do we not look at people and say, they got it all together, God must be with them? Do we not look at people, and when it looks like they don't, we say, what kind of sin is going on in their life? We laugh, but we think that. Come on. You guys know you do. Yes. Their car falls apart every other week. Don't we say, wonder what's going on with them? Do you see what I'm saying? Are you guys tracking with me on the idea that maybe the things that God's blessings are about aren't the things that we think that they're about?
Yes.
Right? So let's look at this again and say, okay, now let's look at Matthew chapter 5. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What that really is saying is, blessed are those who recognize, who see very clearly that they need a Savior. Those who recognize that their need for salvation is real and it's great. Have you guys ever got, do you have favorite quotes of famous authors and speakers and preachers? My favorite quote of Jonathan Edwards is this: your greatest contribution to your salvation is the sin that caused Jesus to be nailed on the cross. Think about that. Leaves pride nowhere. It's only a humble spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This is one I think that is so very real. Why does God say that there's got to be something in my life that has got to cause mourning for me to receive the comfort? It's how God operates. It's how he brings us to the place of needing him. Mourning is that place where we just say, God, I need you. There are many in this room who've lost a husband, lost a wife. And that's the place of comfort that God's bringing us to. There are many in this room who's lost a son, lost a daughter, lost a son and a daughter. And that's a place that God says, I want to comfort you. That's so different than how I would think. Isn't that different how you would think? Isn't that different than how we think? And God says, this is how I operate. This is how I pour into you. Because I see that you're in need, and I want to be that need for you. I love you. Don't pretend that everything's okay. Cry out. I will comfort you. Hello? Hello? I mean, I can't really grasp it because I don't, but at the same time, my spirit, I get it. The place that God wants to bring us is so diametrically opposed to the thing that I think that I need, and God's saying, you just surrender and humble yourself to me, and I will bring and I will be all that you need, even more than what you can get or attain by trying to think of doing it on your own, by making sure everything is all hunky-dory, everything is all just right in your life, isn't the place of needing me. Now, I'm not advocating for us to go make a mess of our lives. That's not what he's saying there. That's not what he's saying there at all. But he's bringing us to the place where when we come to the understanding that without even making an attempt to make a mess of our lives are a mess. Amen. And we need you, Jesus. We need Jesus. Amen. I need Jesus. And I come to the place of needing him every single day, every moment of my day, every moment of my way. I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's completely opposite of the world's way of doing things. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I learned that right away as I just ate these up as a new believer. Right away, even in the workplace, especially in the workplace. In fact, this is actually the one place where he's saying, this is what it looks like as a follower of God to live in the world and work in the world. Be meek. Be meek. And that meekness, how I've always perceived it and what that looks like in my life, it's an inner strength of knowing who I am. Humility is knowing who you are not. Meekness is knowing who you are in Christ. I know that sounds a little simple and punish, but it's exactly pun-ish. Not, you guys get it?
Yeah.
You know, people have described it as inner strength. It's not weakness. And it's the ability I see and I find to lead as a servant, to be an example. I don't have to tell people what to do. Let me show you how to do it. That's what meek is. And that's what he says is they will inherit the earth. They'll actually be the rulers and leaders, the actual leaders of the world, of the earth. Those that are in the earth, you will be the ones that are actually leading and ruling the earth, of the earth, people of the world. Hello? And I found that out right away as I went to work and worked in a construction field. I made it my goal to be meek and yet at the same time work the hardest, because to me that meant the same thing. Work the hardest. Worked as though I was working as though it was my company. My boss was like, I treated him like it was my dad, to where I would say, I'm going to do everything I can to make you as much money as possible. And it wasn't a pride thing. It was a meek thing. It was a meek thing. It was so backwards from whatever. I wasn't looking out for me. I was looking out because I knew who I was. I didn't need to look out for me. I knew who I was. And it gave me the strength to be able to now be that for somebody else. I was a foreman over guys that were way older than me and sitting there trying to complain and grumble and fight and fuss to try to be the boss. And all I did was just do what I knew to do the best I could do. And God elevated me to be a ruler in that part of the world that I existed in. You guys follow with me on that? It's available for every single one of us. Hello? Let's go through them. And just to understand what they are, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The blessing of filled in God only comes from a hunger for more of God. You guys understand that? Receive that. The blessing of being filled up with God only comes from being discontent with how much of God you have. Did I say it a little bit different? Yes, because I want us to understand that my hunger and thirst for more of God is the place that God is putting in me, instilling in within me, so that I can actually receive more of God to be filled with all of God. I can't get more of God without having a desire within me that I don't have enough of Him. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, to give mercy, what must be happening? I've got something going on where somebody is doing something to me to harm me, to hurt me, offend me, to bring bad on me. Whoa. Do you guys catching these things? Are you catching this stuff? In order to give mercy to somebody, something bad must be happening. I'm not saying let's go test people to do bad stuff to people to see if they're going to show mercy on you. That's not what I'm saying. The opportunity to bring mercy into a situation, into somebody's life, it requires something in your life, somebody in your life that's requiring you to show mercy. Amen. You only show mercy if something harsh, harmful, or bad is happening in your life. Now, don't get me wrong in all of that. What I'm saying in that is that instead of getting all pissy and all hot and bothered and saying, oh, I'm going to sue them, I'm going to shoot them, I'm going to call the cops on them, look for an opportunity to show mercy on them. Whoever it is, whatever it is, use wisdom in that. I mean, don't put yourself in a place where it's, you know, foolish. Don't do that. You don't have to try. The world's full of harsh stuff. Hello? Which is bringing us into opportunities to show mercy. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just common sense to me. This is just common sense stuff. You guys following with me? Yeah. Am I out in left field somewhere? Okay. I'm in the ballpark still? Okay, good. Okay. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In order for purity of heart, and just understand it, let's just use the analogy for to purify gold. How do they purify gold? You got to go through the fire. So in order to get a pure heart, you're not just born with it. And here's the thing is, you can't even just want it. You can't even just want a pure heart to get a pure heart. A pure heart comes from going through fire. It's in there. This is real stuff. It's common sense stuff. When you think about these blessings, you're thinking, oh man, these are all feel good, the Beatitudes. Let's have a good attitude towards everybody. Yeah, it's exactly right. But it requires you to go through it. You can't just say, that's what I want. Lord, just will you just give it to me? Yeah, okay, if you want a pure heart, He's going to give you a pure heart, but He's going to bring you through the fire to get it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Again, in order to be a peacemaker, there must be something going on for us to be active and not reactive into making peace, right? A peacemaker is different than a peacekeeper. Peacemaker is someone who's actively involved in making peace in situations in people's lives. Prayer. Out there. You got to be out there with it. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That sounds like fun. Blessed are those who, when they revile you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Are we following this? That this is what he's talking about here, is the blessings of God may not appear to be what we think they should be. Blessed are you, Mary, highly favored one. God is with you. It brings a little bit of a spin to that, doesn't it? To where you're thinking, that's a little more than I think I might have bargained before. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 29. Now let's go back there and we'll finish this. I'll start back in verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Oh, dang it. I got to do this. Okay. Another sidestep. But this is a really, really good one. The words that Gabriel spoke to Zechariah, to Daniel, and to Mary were, do not be afraid. He spoke that and he proclaimed that no fear proclamation into this environment. Do not be afraid. I firmly believe if that hadn't been proclaimed and spoken by the angel Gabriel, fear and the terror would have come over so strongly that they would not have been able to hear and perceive and receive the message that Gabriel was speaking. You guys following with me on this? Let's go back, because I want to go to a place where we might be able to identify. It's in Matthew chapter 28, and this was after Jesus rose from the grave. And remember, the two women, they went to the tomb because they wanted to see the grave. They wanted to see, they wanted to anoint his body. And they get to the tomb. Remember, they get to the tomb. And you can look it up and read it yourself. But they get to the tomb and the stone is already rolled away. As they get to the tomb, and the story is like this. An angel of the Lord appears in front of, before the guards, before the Roman soldiers. He does not speak to them, do not be afraid. He did not speak to them. He did not speak those words into that environment. He did not speak those words into their lives. What did they do? They fell over as though they were dead. They fell as though they were dead. They shook and they fell as though they were dead men. Then the women show up. The same scene. The same exact scene that they show up to. And he speaks to them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And because of those words, they were able to receive the message. Hear it and receive it. Our words, we've been doing this study in our Tuesday night group in Hebrews chapter 11, and it's so awesome. Our words have the power to bless, to curse, to speak life into an environment, or to speak death into it. And I didn't note this before in all of my studies, but in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, there's three men that their act of faith was this one thing. And we know of Abraham's acts of faith. We know of that. But then there's Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. It lists those three men. And you know what their act of faith was? What? Yeah, you do. You cheated. You come on Tuesday night. You're not a cheater. Was to bless their children. Speak blessing into their life. He says their faith was to bless their children. By faith, they blessed their children. By faith, they spoke blessing into their lives. By faith, and their act of faith was to bless their children. You guys following that? That's awesome. No, really, that's really awesome. That you and I have the absolute calling, the responsibility, the potential to bless people. to speak blessing into their lives and not curses. And when we speak blessing into their lives, I believe it. I believe that the power behind it is very real. It's as real as this thing here. It's very real. There's impact. Whoa. Look out. God wants to use you to bless and not curse. Don't be a curser, a complainer, a grumbler, a fault finder. Be a blesser, a life giver. Speak hope, courage into everyone's life. Everyone. I don't think any of us are wise enough, good enough, smart enough to pick and choose who we should bless and who we should curse. And that's just my confession. I know I ain't. So I might as well just bless everyone. It's fun to do, too. It's actually rewarding. It's a joy. You get joy out of it yourselves. Now, I want to get to the end of the story. Okay, there you go. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Amen. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over all the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel left. Let it be according to your word. Ha, hallelujah. I remember thinking of the verse in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. I think it leaves us with just nothing else to say. Oh, I'm sorry, Linda. You have your hand up. Sure. Yeah.
Earlier we discussed Zechariah's response to Gabriel, Mary's response to Gabriel.
Oh, you want me to answer the difference in two sentences or less? Well, in already breaking down their responses, I don't want to go into and there's been, I think, even books written about that. Where I've come from with the differences, I think it's kind of changing a little bit as I'm not so hard on Zechariah as I might have once been in the past. Would I have responded the same as he? Maybe. I might have. Something that I've longed for so long and maybe even given up on. Something that in my life I might have longed for years upon years upon years and given up on. And God says he's going to do it in some miraculous way that is impossible in this realm, because it was to Zacharias and Elizabeth an impossibility to have a child at this point because they were old in age. Not totally impossible, but yet at the same time, knowing and remembering, you know, the story of Abraham and Sarah is very real. He's a priest. He knows that story. He teaches it. He lives by that faith. But yet to come to that reality of saying, okay, what you say, I'm going to totally believe. Because, yeah, their responses were pretty close. They're very similar, Mary's and Zacharias. How is this possible? And Mary's was, how is it going to happen? Where Zacharias was coming from was in his belief in God being able and capable of doing something. Mary was more as a curious, how, God, are you going to do it? I don't know. I don't disbelieve that you can do it. I'm just curious of how you're going to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Did that answer your question a little bit, Linda? So yeah, is that true for all of us to respond to God like that? Absolutely. We need to perceive that and understand that. So thank you, Linda, for bringing that up. Because in the midst of our prayer life, in the midst of our walking with God, are we really walking believing in God, trusting in God? Or are we just walking through this and thinking, well, God, I'm still not really sure how you're doing it. I don't even know if it's capable for you to do it. I've seen people that struggle so much in life with finances, with relationships, with things in their lives to where the very possibility of God doing something miraculous has seemed like it's foreign to them, so much so that they can't even conceive that it's possible. Hello? I think that there's some in this room that are saying, yeah, that's me. That's me. Not all of us have the luxury of being a young Mary into where it's easier for a younger person who hasn't been just beat down by life to say, I believe in you, God. But don't use your beat down for an excuse to disbelieve the power of God. Amen. Stick with God. Stay with God. God's staying with you. He's not giving up on any of us. Hallelujah. God loves each of every one of us right where we're at. But he loves you so much where you're at that he doesn't want you to stay where you're at. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love for us. That's above and beyond really our comprehending, but it's not above and beyond your spirit to instill within us a revelation, an understanding, an uncovering of your love, your call on our lives. As we seek your favor, and as we seek your blessings, and as we seek your presence, we invite you, Father God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, to bring those into our lives as you see fit. Not as I would like them to look, but as you see fit for me. And Lord, I just kind of switch a little bit of a prayer thing here to a confession thing. To all of us who are willing, let's just speak it. Speak these words. Behold your servant, your will be done in my life as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.